Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to CFTV Live. Of course, we are presented today by our good friends at AgriGold. We're waving to the folks who are. Are you waving at them at the TV screen?
Yeah, I'm waving at the screen. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
At the millions of people that are watching us live right now on CFTV Live.
Not millions, but excuse me there. Not millions, but probably thousands.
We round up here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Yeah, of course you round up. You know what's crazy is it's supposed to be like 67. I saw
today.
On Friday.
Oh yeah.
Don't jump the gun. On Friday. And it feels like planting season.
It does. I was going to say golfing season, but I like where you're going. Now you got to talk about the sponsor.
It feels like planting season.
It does.
And all the champion farmers out there, because AgriGold, they know corn.
They do know corn.
And all the champion farmers out there, a lot of them listen to us via the podcast when they're out working. So we'll put our coffee in the air for the good American farmers today, the AgriGold farmers out there. God bless you all. It feels like planting season. I'm starting to get into that groove of, you know, March Madness is coming up. It's going to get warmer. It seems like every year down at Kansas City anymore, it's warm.
Where does this rank for you right now, this time of year? Is it your favorite? Do you like football more? Part of you has to be excited because the grind that you've been going through since August is almost coming to an end where you have a nice two-month break.
Yeah, but then, like, that's nice for a couple of weeks, and then it's like, you know, like Ricky Bobby, like, what do I do with my hands in the interview?
Yeah.
You kind of, you know, because this summer, like last summer was really crazy because we were redesigning the website. We're not really doing, I don't know, like it, this time of year is fun though. I love the, I love waking up every day and not knowing what's going to happen. And that's what's cool about March because it's like, oh, you know, like literally anything could happen between now and with Iowa State now in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that will dictate how the history shows the second year of the Steve Prohm era.
How do you think it's going to finish up?
Really good.
You do?
Yeah.
We're
Clones win tonight, baby.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. No, I'm very confident.
I don't agree with you, but I like it.
I'm very confident about this.
Very confident.
Very confident. Like the Texas game, I was kind of like,
yeah.
Whatever. Like. This one could go either way. Very confident about tonight's game.
You know this Iowa State team is not afraid of going on the road. They've shown that. They actually play very well on the road.
They'll play better tonight because it's the Octagon than they did at Texas.
Because it's a tougher place to play, you think it gets the motivation?
Absolutely.
You know Monte feeds off that.
Date back to this group of players in their entire career at Iowa State.
Yeah. But, you know, so I think they've only won down in Kansas State one time. That was last year.
Last year they won at Kansas State.
I don't know, man. I've seen too many heartbreaking games down in Kansas State. You know what? I did go back and look. They've won three out of the last six down there.
My theory on tonight has more.
I didn't know that you had a tweet scheduled to go live, and so I just tweeted. We have back-to-back I'm going to go ahead and delete that one right there.
You don't want to overtweet?
No, you don't want to overtweet.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, it's all good. To me, my take on tonight's game has as much to do with Kansas State as it does Iowa State. I have a theory on the Wildcats. Okay?
Let's hear this theory.
Keep in mind, I had them last in my preseason poll.
I think most people did.
Yeah, I had them dead last in my Big 12 preseason
poll. What did the media have them? Did they have them last as well?
I don't know how that ended up.
I'm talking. I'm going to look this up.
Okay. Just saying, like, my specific poll, I had them 10th. They have overachieved in that sense. Just, you know, in my brain. Not that my brain is always correct, but this is where I'm coming from when I make this prediction. They started off very impressive throughout the year. They had a really impressive non-con. Even though they weren't winning a lot of those games, they were playing close to really good teams. A lot like Iowa State, and that's why the metrics like them. That's why the KenPoms like them. That's why the RPI likes them, etc. Not RPI because it doesn't – what BPI, whatever. You guys don't care. Here's my theory on them, that they overachieved for the first two-thirds of the year, and they've hit the Big 12 grind, and this is a team that has plateaued. Right now they've got some injury problems with DJ Johnson. I think he plays tonight. I think he'll play tonight, but how healthy is he, really? We don't know. And on top of it, it's not a terrible matchup for Iowa State like Kansas State used to be. This is a team – here's a stat for you. the opposition is hitting 39% from three-point range against Kansas State this year.
I like that.
Iowa State is the top three-point shooting team in the Big 12.
Iowa State's three-pointing has taken a big increase in probably, what, the last six, seven games? Because before that, they struggled.
Naz and Matt, over the last six games, they're averaging almost 7.5 threes per game, the combination of the two.
And then Donovan's good for about two a game.
Matt Thomas is hitting 68% from three, and that includes an 0-for-5 mark at Kansas over the last six
games. Is that good, Chris? Is that good?
Yes.
Jeez.
So my point is, like, there's a lot of intangibles to this matchup that I really like for Iowa State tonight.
And not to change the subject to another team, but how you're describing Kansas State right now as far as plateauing in the Big 12, am I crazy for thinking Baylor's kind of done the same? Baylor?
No.
I'm not crazy for saying that.
No.
And the reason I say that, Baylor, I'm looking here, they're predicted to be fifth in the Big 12. Yes. They've obviously overachieved from there. They were not rated to start the season, but then they go to beat Oregon without Dylan Brooks. They beat Michigan State, who's not very good. Louisville early, and I think everyone thought they're this great team. And I think where they're at right now in the top, I think they're top 10 right now, but I think that's more of a top 20 team. And we're starting to see them play like that right now.
Perhaps that it's because they don't have very dynamic guards.
That's one of the reasons.
I mean, you know, it's not a cliche. When you near March, guards are the key. And that's why I've always been not high on Iowa State, but why I haven't gotten down on Iowa State, because it really is a – this team, Iowa State's offense, I would guess that the offensive efficiency has gotten better and better the longer we've gone throughout the season.
Yep.
And I think that will continue.
Do you think
that's because of your guards.
If Iowa State finishes at the 7-10 seed, do you think any of those 1-2 seeds want to see Iowa State?
No, absolutely not. It's a terrible matchup for a lot of different teams out there.
And sure, they can kill Iowa State on the rebounding, but Iowa State can beat them in a lot of other ways. And all you have to do is look and see Gonzaga, number one team in the country. Iowa State was a bucket in the last 2 minutes of that game away from beating them.
Should have won the game. They didn't score in the last 4 minutes. No field goals in the last 4 minutes for Iowa State.
It's tough to win games when you do that.
Ugh.
Tough to win games. And they've shown they can play with Kansas. They obviously beat them, who's a top 10 team, and Baylor, and so on and so forth. So I don't think anyone wants to face Iowa State. The reason I don't like it, I mean, I just – winning on the Big 12 is hard enough, let alone on the road. Octagon and Doom is a tough place to play. I'm not going to give you any X's and O's here or strategy or anything. I'm just going off of my gut feeling based on how Iowa State –
3.5-point underdogs, so you're not alone. Yeah,
over my lifetime, struggling to win on the road. And this team is better than we've seen through most of my life, but they're still – gun to my head, Iowa State's close. Two, three minutes to go, and they lose the game by seven.
And I don't know this, but what if hypothetically I say, Gray, DJ Johnson, 60%?
No, then I would change the pick, and it's still toss-up, and maybe Iowa State gets it. It's going to come down to the end, Chris.
Would you take 4 points in Iowa State?
Yeah, I'd take 4 points. But I think he's going to play, and I think he's probably going to be 80%, and –
Iowa State's expecting him to play.
Yeah.
They have been the whole time.
Is Merrill Holden playing? I know the concussion protocol, he's still 50-50.
I don't know.
Monday, last I heard, he was still waiting to see. He was still in the process of figuring that out. So, and not that he's a guy that you're sitting here wondering, is he, you know, he's not a difference maker, but if Iowa State could get 10 minutes out of him, that's a positive.
Very much so. And that's a really good segue, Adam, here on the AgriGold CFTV Live. Do we call this a podcast? Because we do post it as a podcast.
Or videocast?
It's video and audio content here at CycloneFanatic.com.
Out to our millions of current watchers.
I want to talk about Solomon Young, because I started to write a column about this late last night, and then I was like, you know what, forget this. I'm going to save this content for a conversation between me and Gray.
I like it.
Solomon Young, by the way, I just got confirmation that Merle Holden will play tonight for Iowa State.
It's good news.
So we're breaking some news here on the AgriGold CFTV Live podcast.
Wow.
Can I tweet that out real quick?
You can tweet. You should tweet out. If you guys want breaking news, tune into the CFTV Live podcast. I don't know if the server can hold as many people as we're going to have tuning in right now for this.
Boom. Tweet. This is how we do it. That's how we do.
Did you say little birdie? I know a lot of people don't like it when you say little birdie.
I don't give a crap. There's certain ways you have to dance around things.
Yeah.
I just said sounds like Merle Holden will play tonight for Iowa State.
That's good news. I'm pulling for that young guy. Tough situation. Come to Iowa State with a lot of I think me and you before the year, we were texting before the season in the exhibition game, and we're both saying, man, I love this Holden kid. I think he's going to do a great job for Iowa State. Rebound, block some shots, don't need him to score. And for the most part, he struggled. And I don't know. He comes to a team that's got a lot of expectations.
You know what I truly believe was Merle's problem?
What?
I don't think it was his mindset. He got into foul trouble so much in the first like six games.
Yeah.
He didn't. He never. So I it, like any time with a fifth year who comes from a mid-major, like the big thing is you've got to like develop them in the non-con. You know, have you ever heard the phrase "play the JUCO out of them"?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that with the mid-major guys because they're coming from a program. We saw this with Abdul Nader as well, where they're the man, where they are relied on for much more than they're going to be during their time at Iowa State. And you've got to play that out of them in the beginning. And
they got to figure out their role.
And he never had a chance to do that.
Well, and even Solomon Young breaks his wrist or arm or hand or whatever he broke, and he didn't get a lot of playing time in the non-conference as well. And I think that's hurt him even later on in this year.
Totally agree. That bring a really good segue, Adam, because Steve Prohm is not a stubborn man. There's nothing stubborn about Steve Prohm other than one thing. I think he's too loyal to his older guys sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we saw here in this Solomon Young deal. Because I think a lot of us were sitting back and watching and be like, Coach, why isn't Solomon playing more? It seems like the good things happen when he's out there. And I love Steve's answer during the press conference on Monday, where he essentially was like, yeah, you live and you learn. You know, I should have played him more earlier. And he's committed to it now. I do think that I've said this a couple of times now. I'll bounce it off of you. I think that when you and I were texting about Merle Holden early in the year, Iowa State's ceiling at that position was probably higher, talking about Merle at that point, like if he could ever become the guy that Iowa State wanted and needed him to be. However, I do think Solomon now will bring more consistency to that position because I think he's a guy who – being a true freshman, I don't think he's going to try and overdo what he's expected to do in that spot. The fact that Steve's starting him now tells me a lot about Solomon Young behind the scenes because of Prohm's loyalty to the older guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think Solomon will know his role, like you said, because he – it's kind of like sometimes when you hire a new someone to come work for you, let's say a new salesman, and they've never sold anywhere else before, you can mold them exactly to be the salesman that you want them to be, right? But if you go hire them away from another company, sometimes people really struggle with that because, hey, they're used to doing it their way, and you got to say, well, that way might have worked there, but it's not going to work here, and this is how we do things here, and a lot of times you butt heads. And I think, I'm not saying Merrill Holden and them butted heads, but you just like you said, you have to retrain him. Where Solomon Young, you don't have to. You're getting a guy.
You're molding him every
day. You're molding
him
exactly how you want him to be. And so I think right now, especially, he's coming in. He's playing with guys that are experienced. He knows his role now.
If you were around, I don't know if you've seen the interviews with Naz and Monte talking about Solomon. Mm-hmm. I guess, did you see postgame, the Oklahoma postgame, Naz's comments? So what happens is coach makes an opening statement, and then questions are opened up to players. First question goes to Naz on Saturday. And the first thing Naz does before even answering the question is praises Solomon Young for the game.
Smart. That's a leader.
I mean, I love it. And you could tell, like, that – think about, like, whenever you've been the young guy.
Yeah.
Like, in any sort of sport. Like, if you have a senior who's going to go down as a legend at that school, and Naz will because he's so lovable – his jersey's not going to be hanging up, but everybody's going to be talking about Naz Long 20 years from now.
Correct.
Like, he's never going to be forgotten about. For Solomon Young to hear a guy go to bat for him like that after his first career start.
Confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Boom. And right through the roof.
And then Monte and Naz doubled down on that at media availability on Monday. They have a lot of confidence in this kid, and that's why it gives me more confidence in Iowa State going forward.
Well, you know he's not going to be scared. He's going to play hard. And then from there, sure, is he going to make some freshman mistakes? Absolutely. But you can live with those freshman mistakes as long as they're playing hard and they're learning from them. And, you know, circling back to Steve not starting him earlier on or taking a little bit longer – that's easier said than done, Chris, because here Steve comes in. He's got a team of returning seniors, Monte, Matt, Naz. These guys, there's a lot of expectations, and you don't want to go right in with a freshman right away because you don't want to let those guys down. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when Holden and Young, when they're kind of back and forth, and, well, a lot of people would say, well, play Solomon Young because they're even, and at least you can play the younger guy and it will build for the future. That's tough for Steve because he says, well, I'd like to build for the future, but I got a lot of seniors right here that I'm responsible for, and winning right now is the most important thing. So it's hard to sit here. It's hard to sit here now and say, gosh, he should have played Solomon Young. And he's admitted it, and he probably should have, But that's easier said than done.
Especially when, you know, in Steve's mind, right or not, it's still kind of Fred's team. I mean, these aren't guys who he brought in. This isn't Lindell Wigginton. These are guys who are Hoiberg guys. And Steve has always been very clear about this, and it's one of the things that I love about him as a coach. And it's hard in college basketball because the coaches become the superstars very quickly. They're the ones who are there each and every year. But Steve's always been, this is their program. Like, I want to send these guys out with a bang. And, yeah, I mean, when you add all that together, it makes sense why he's so loyal to the fifth-year guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so Solomon Young, we think he'll bring some stability. Final point on him, and this is interesting. Who do you think Solomon Young is 3 years from now, like a comparison? Because I think that one thing I know about him is he was more skilled than they thought he would be the day he stepped on campus.
Okay.
Better jump shot, better ball handler. He's still not – I mean, he's not good in any of those aspects yet, but he's better than they thought he would be. That was encouraging. He's got a great body, very athletic, really good personality as far as his work ethic goes. Who could this guy become?
This is a tough question.
I know it is. I don't know. It's interesting.
Iowa State hasn't had a lot of bigs in the last 20 years, especially.
He's got a little Melvin Edgem to him. That's the first one I think of.
Why do you steal what I was going to pick?
Is that where you go?
Yeah, I was going to say Melvin. I think he's got a little bit better hands than Melvin Edgem.
Melvin's hands were terrible.
Awful.
Yeah.
For most of his career.
Worst hands, Melvin early on or Daryl Bowie now?
Or Troy Williamson for Iowa State. Or not Iowa State. Minnesota Vikings. Yeah.
I know who you didn't need to tell me. I knew exactly who you were talking about.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Edgems are bad. And the problem with Edgem is he always played so hard. He put himself in so many opportunities to get the ball.
Yeah.
And he botched it. So that's a thing. I mean, you could never get mad at Melvin Edgem because he did so many other things well. I think you could call him a little bit of a poor man's Melvin Edgem. I haven't seen...
What did you just drop?
My phone.
Oh, okay.
I elbowed it off the table.
You got too excited talking about Solomon Young's future.
But I think Solomon's shown the ability to be a step-out guy, too. He could score inside.
Absolutely.
He could score outside.
He's popped out and hit a couple of long twos this year.
And it looks good.
Yeah. It doesn't look like a fluke.
And I think he's hit a three or two.
Doesn't look like LeRon Dendy when he would make a shot.
LeRon Dendy. That jumper against UNI that haunts our dreams forever.
It changed the Greg McDermott era.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was a devastating loss.
That was the death blow to Greg, though.
That was
As the fans go, like if they win that game, like Greg, like that was the death blow.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Iowa State was winning, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
With like a minute to go,
and then they just implode.
Dendy forced up an air ball shot from the corner, and it was one of those. As soon as he shot it, everyone screamed no, and it wasn't even close.
Okay, can we change the subject?
But I mean,
we're losing viewers by the second.
Comparing Solomon Young to Melvin Edgem isn't fair. Melvin Edgem was Big 12 Player of the Year.
No, we're talking about who could he be.
Who do you strive for
Solomon Young to be?
I don't like this player as much as a lot of Iowa State fans do, but I would say a slightly bigger version than Dustin Hogue.
Okay.
Dustin Hogue junior year is what I would like him to be.
Dustin Hogue benefited a lot from the guys around him.
Yes. And Dustin Hogue junior year did a great job being the nasty dog that got the rebounds, that was tough, that kicked guys in the chest and, you know, did all that. His senior year, he was a stand in the corner 3-point shooter, got 4 rebounds a game. I don't want that to ever be Solomon Young. I want him to be junior year, 8 rebounds a game. You know, Iowa State's never probably going to go to him for offense, but when the opportunity's there, he takes advantage. He makes a couple threes every now and then. He makes some layups. I think Dustin Hogue junior year would be nice.
Yeah, you are right about the regression of Dustin Hogue, though.
He became a stand-in-the-corner 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
The UConn game his junior year was the worst thing that could ever happen to him because it made him believe he was somebody he wasn't.
What did he have, like 34 points
33,
in that game?
34, yeah.
Jeez.
We had to have it because no one else was scoring. Yang was obviously out with the broken foot. He played a great game. And God love him for it.
Monte didn't even have the ability to really score at that point in his career. I mean, he was just the
– We couldn't do it. And we got back in that game, but it was too little too late. And based on that game, I think he came into his senior year thinking he was this go-to scorer for Iowa State, and that wasn't his game. He was the guy that you needed to be tough, the glue guy. He kind of lost a little bit of that.
Also tonight in the Big 12, TCU is a point-and-a-half favorite over Oklahoma State. That game is in Fort Worth. TCU continues to just hang around and keep around 500 in the Big 12, which would probably get them into the NCAA tournament. The Big 12 standings as we head into tonight, Iowa State is alone and fourth. A win tonight would tie Iowa State with West Virginia. Of course, that's not counting the tiebreaker that West Virginia would have. But this is an important game tonight for Iowa State. If they somehow want to sneak up into that three line for the Big 12 tournament.
I kind of like the 4-5.
Dude, if you could tell me Iowa State's going to play either TCU or Kansas State on the first day in Kansas
That's
City,
why I'm liking the
I'd 4-5. Sign up for that right now.
Well, I guess they
I would rather play one of those schools than Oklahoma State.
I absolutely 100% agree.
And I feel like if you're the 3, you're going to get Oklahoma State.
Yes. That's why I like the 4-5, because of who you play the first round. And then
what
you know,
we need to do,
you
though,
play
Adam,
Kansas the second, which is tough, but you know what? You got to beat them at some point.
We need to go through and we need to compare future schedules for those three teams, because I have a hunch that Oklahoma State will probably – I guess they're tied with Kansas State heading into tonight. There's a decent chance that they're going to leapfrog.
I got it right here.
Okay,
I
what
got
do we
the,
got?
I got the MRED.
Oh, MRED? Yeah, the MRED bracket predictor. So, I love it.
Only two games.
God, I could spend hours on this thing.
I know. It's fun. So you're predicting Iowa State.
I got Iowa State tonight over Kansas State.
And then who we got? TCU, Okie State?
Okie State.
On the road.
Yeah.
It's a bad pick. It's a bad
pick. So we disagree on both games
tonight. That's all right.
That's all right.
I always go home teams. If you can't tell.
Oklahoma, I'm high on what Underwood's doing.
I like Underwood, too.
I really like him. They have better guards. They win tonight.
Jalen Fisher, not a bad guard, though.
No, he's not bad, but I like Oklahoma State better.
All right. And then we go this weekend. We got some good games. Baylor, Kansas.
That's in
It's in Waco. Baylor should have won. I shouldn't say should have. Could have won in
Kansas. I'll take Baylor.
Okay. Iowa State at home against TCU. We like Iowa State
like
there.
The clones.
Oklahoma State at home against Oklahoma. They'll win that. Texas at home, Kansas State.
Texas.
Okay. West Virginia to beat Texas Tech at home.
Correct.
Okay. So from there, the next week, we got Iowa State's on the road to Texas Tech. Lubbock.
Texas Tech.
I agree. West Virginia beats Texas at home. Baylor beats Oklahoma. Kansas State beats Okie State. Or does Okie State get them on the road? You love Okie State.
I do love Oklahoma State. I'll give it to Kansas State.
Okay.
They can't lose two in a row.
So on February that week, we have all home teams because Kansas is going to beat TCU at home.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Next, the weekend, Iowa State's at home against Baylor. Huge game. Huge.
Clones.
Clones. I love it.
I like Iowa State.
I agree. Okie State at home against Texas Tech. Okie State.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma State.
Kansas State's going to go into Oklahoma and win that game? Or?
No, give me the Sooners.
I don't.
Well, wait, they don't have Woodard anymore. No, yeah. Kansas State.
How bad is Texas right now?
They're really bad.
Jeez.
They're really bad.
And we lost that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, we'll be kicking ourselves for that one for a while now.
Yes, we will. TCU's at home against West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Okay. And then Texas is at home against Kansas. We like Kansas there. Okay.
All right, final week of the season. What do we got?
Baylor at home against West Virginia. That's a game.
Baylor.
All right. Kansas is going to beat Oklahoma at home. Iowa State against Oklahoma State in Hilton.
Clones.
I agree. TCU at home against Kansas State.
TCU.
Yep. And then Tech at home against Texas.
Tech.
So we got all home teams there. Iowa State at West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Yep. Kansas State at home against Tech. Kansas State.
Tech is one of those teams, though. Like,
you hate Kansas State, right?
I do. I don't like them. But Tech's a weird team, though, Adam, because it's like they're whatever they are in the Big 12. They're 5-8, but damn, they've had so many close losses to good teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that they're the opposite, where they were skewed a little negative in the first half of the Big 12 season. And they're going to pick up some wins. Give me Tech.
Wow, Tech going on the road and winning, that would punch their ticket for sure. Tech is 1 point away from beating the top three teams in the Big 12.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I think they're better than their record indicates, and I think Kansas State is worse.
Okay. Oklahoma State at home against Kansas. I like Oklahoma State in that one.
Yeah, I'll give the Cowboys a win.
That's almost one where you get it, you're in the tournament for sure.
And then everybody will like the narrative is like, oh, Kansas is having problems before Kansas City. And
And then they'll go down there and have all the fan support. Oklahoma at home against TCU.
TCU.
Okay, Texas at Baylor.
Baylor.
Yep. Okay, so let's the submit button, spit it out here. All right. Iowa State would be four seed playing Okie State in the 5 seed. So we need –
I don't want that to happen.
Well, let's do a quick thing here. Let's say Okie State loses to Kansas at home, resubmit it, still the same.
So me having Kansas State tanking is really an issue here.
That's big, yeah.
That's a big issue.
So we're kind of pulling for them a little bit.
So the Clones need to beat Kansas. So just to put a bow on this conversation, we both agree that the favorable matchup for Iowa State is either a matchup against Kansas State or TCU in that 4-5 game.
Or even if Texas Tech can sneak up there somehow. I don't think they can.
Or if Iowa State can get to the 3. And I'd rather play Texas Tech than Oklahoma State.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oklahoma State's the team that I do not want.
the three is going to be very difficult. Iowa State's going to have to upset like West Virginia.
I'm fine with playing the four. And then what I also like about the 4-5 game is if you can win it, you have the entire day.
Yep. To just drink at the Power and Light District.
Well, not us. I'm talking about the team. They have an entire day
drink
to sit
at
there.
The Power and Light?
No.
Why would the team
you're
be
so
drinking?
Inappropriate. Anyways, good Big 12 basketball conversation. Shout out to our friends at AgriGold. God bless them. They know corn like no other. It's crazy the amount of farmers, too, just farmers in general who listen to our podcast. Because, like, the farm guys, they've got all this crazy equipment now.
Yeah.
Like, their tractors, they got, like, Bluetooth in them.
Are you saying that they don't even do any work? That they just look
at
the tractors do it for them?
They're tractoring.
Yeah. Oh.
And then they're listening to the podcast.
I thought you were saying the Bluetooth.
Well, no, they can do that,
GPS
too.
The GPS would kind of...
I got a guy back home in southwest Iowa, and he can control, like, a tractor by his iPad.
That's
insanity.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to play around with that for a little bit.
Well, that'd be a bad deal. Be like farm dogs getting run over, all kinds of bad stuff. All right, later on this week, let's look ahead to the week. We've got a Fawcast tomorrow where we'll have plenty of reaction to tonight's game.
Will we really?
Yeah, I want to. I mean, I think we have a journalistic responsibility, even on the Fawcast, to react to the game.
Give it at least 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Despite what Mark Charter wants to do. And then Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show is tomorrow night at Benchwarmers. Also, Cammie's birthday party.
Big number two.
Yeah.
What'd you get her?
I got her a massive giraffe for Valentine's Day / her birthday. Ashley got her a bunch of other stuff, too.
So you do get her Valentine's Day gift.
Well, yeah, she's my little girl.
Yeah, I know. I need to
She's my little princess.
Well, so my wife gets the boys' Valentine's Day gifts, and I just don't understand it. And then all of a sudden, I started thinking about it. And, you know, Olivia's only one.
Yeah, but she's still your little princess.
Yeah, I didn't get her anything, and I feel terrible now. I feel like a, you know, the good news is that she'll never remember, right? And you'll probably tell her like 6 years from now. Did you know when you were one, your dad didn't get you a Valentine's Day gift?
Absolutely. Well, I'm gonna make a note of it right now, an Evernote.
But just a bad parenting by me.
Yeah, no, I got her this massive giraffe.
What is she gonna do with it?
I love it.
Just cuddle with it.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
She was scared of it last night, so we got to warm up to it a little bit.
Owen is terrified of Psy.
Why?
I don't know. You know, we went to Disney. Mickey Mouse, he loved Mickey Mouse. Goes up, gives him a hug, talks to Mickey. Go to see Psy. Wants nothing to do with him.
Interesting.
And he loves Psy from afar. Psy gets close, doesn't like him.
Does he get, like, stage fright when Psy comes around because it's such a big deal? Meaning that he's a huge clone fan, Owen is. Like, it's one shot to impress Psy.
No, I just don't think I don't know. He does not like Psy himself when he gets close to him. He doesn't want to give him a high five. He doesn't want to get within 5 feet of him. Scared of him.
Interesting. Well, the Iowa State women play tonight. They get
big one, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech is tonight, and West Virginia is on Saturday. I just put a Krogs' preview for a big week for that program if they want to. I think you're thinking NIT right now.
Yeah.
For them. I mean,
what's their record right now?
13-10 overall.
Okay, so they need to do something crazy if they were to make a run.
Yeah, I mean, if they would win these two games this week, and somehow, like, if they climb up to like close to 500 in the Big 12, in the women's Big 12, like 8-10 usually gets you in, I think.
Okay.
So,
man, they've had a lot of just close losses, haven't they?
They have.
Didn't they blow? I hate to say blow, but blow that Texas Tech game last time.
Yeah.
Who was the non-conference team they played that was ranked top 20 and they blew that game? At the very end. It was the SEC team, wasn't it?
Oh, Mississippi State.
Yeah.
They were ranked like sixth.
And Iowa State had them beat the entire game.
Yeah, they were led for the overwhelming majority of the game.
By double digits, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Brutal. Brutal. All right. Well, hopefully they turn it around tonight. Bloom's on the call if you guys want to listen to that. But 6 o'clock start for the men. Women are at 7, so it'll be a busy night at CycloneFanatic.com. Thanks to everybody at AgriGold. We appreciate it. Thanks to everybody for watching, everybody who downloads the podcast. As always, we want to encourage you to leave us some ratings and reviews for our podcast page because I don't know why, but that's the only way that our ratings and stuff will be boosted.
Only 5 stars, though.
Yeah. If you're going to leave 1 star, then we don't even want you. Just knock it off.
Or 2 or 3 or 4.
Stop it right now.
Just 5.
Yeah, just 5, please.
That's all we want.
Tell us how great we are. We appreciate it. So long, everybody. Great show. Take care.